Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We were talking some baseball, and of course, whenever we talk baseball, that means we like to go to one of our favorites in the business. That, of course, is Pirates broadcaster Greg Brown, who's seen more Pirates games than just about anybody I know, except for maybe Jimmy T. Greg, how you doing tonight, sir?
Paul, I'm hanging in there, man. A missing burn.
Yes, absolutely. It would be really nice to be able to go over there and have a cigar, you know, but hopefully it won't be that long and we'll be able to enjoy that again at some point. You never know. But yes, yeah. I am missing that. I definitely am missing that. I'm also missing baseball, and you know, I don't know if you've been listening, but the last few days we've started to play some classic Pirate games, games that you called. And yesterday we had the wild card game from 2013 with the you know, the Johnny Cueto game, and I was just saying basically, I did not remember how loud it was from start to finish of that game. Do you remember that? I mean, do you remember it being that loud from like the start, not just, you know, at key times, it was loud the entire game.
Well, Paul, you know, it's interesting from my end because 93.7 The Fan, as you said, airing some classic games. And some of them I've been asked to do introductions for, just to kind of lead in, give a little brief history of, for like, the 60 game that we aired last week, the 92 playoff game. I think next week there's the 91 playoff game. Bob Walk pitches three innings in, I think, game one of the 91 playoff NLCS. So I've gotten, so last week, our broadcasting director, Mark Garda, gives me little snippets to listen to so that I can write up a script for a lead-in. And I had not heard that game since 2013. I've never you actually, you know, I know AT&T Sportsnet aired the TBS game that was broadcast that night. They aired the wild card game a couple weeks ago, but rarely do you hear the radio call. And what struck me listening to just a couple of minutes of the pregame and the very end of the game was that crowd. And as I said, I tweeted this out, and I was sincere about it. They got a huge response to promote the fact that 93.7 The Fan was airing the wild card game. TV did not do it justice. And by the way, I love, I mean, the guys, the sound engineers, the audio guys in these sports just do an incredible job. So I don't mean to come down too hard on them, on any of them. They're my buddies. They make me sound good. But at times, I do believe the national guys in particular, again, this is not meant as a slap. I know they do a great job, but I think they try and I'm getting technical here with you, but on the TV side, they try, because the microphones are located all over these, whether it's the football field, baseball diamond, or on the ice, mics are all over the place. So they want to kind of, almost as their signature style, they crank up, like, you know, the sound of the skates on the ice. You've heard that when you're watching a game. To me, to the detriment of the din of the crowd. So I have asked our radio engineer, Doran Check, for years now, do me a favor, do not take the audio feeds from TV. I mean, if we wanted to, and there are some games on radio local broadcasts and national broadcasts, some of them will use the TV audio. So, in other words, you might be doing a game on radio, 93.7 The Fan, and this happened early on before I asked for the switch. You could hear the pop of the catcher's mitt in the bullpen when a guy is warming up on radio. So all of a sudden you're talking about a game. Well, the TV, follow me here, television now shows on TV, they're showing a picture of the reliever warming up in the bullpen. So on TV, you see that, the announcer says, well, there's so-and-so warming up, and you'll hear the mitt pop every time he delivers a pitch. Boom, beep, because there's a mic down there. Well, on radio, I don't want that because I'm not doing a telecast on radio. I'm doing my own game. So I don't need to hear some catcher's mitt popping out of the blue. Nobody knows what's going on there. So the bottom line is we on 93.7 The Fan and on our games on radio, we have our crowd mic set up so that you can hear as much of the, in this case, 40,000 fans. That's the backstory to tell you I was still unaware of how incredibly loud that was because I've watched the TBS telecast a couple times, which is good. It's loud, but it's nothing like that radio game. I was struck by it, as you said, not only from the first pitch, but during the pregame show, and then well after the postgame show. People, the screaming, the chanting, it gave me chills. I listened to that game, not because of me, but I wanted to hear that crowd noise. It's sensational.
It's absolutely incredible. I just don't remember it being like that. That's what's you know, I was in that crowd actually because I was in the auxiliary press box, which was out in left field. So, you know, I do remember it being loud, but I just didn't remember that it was that loud. Now, Greg, that game had to be one of the probably your favorites, you know, to broadcast over the years. Are there any others that stand out like that you really just kind of remember and really just enjoy looking back at?
Well, you know, Paul, people have asked me that about, and obviously, going to the playoffs for the first time in 20 years, it was just such a great moment. The whole day was a great time for me and all of Pirate fans. Heck, sports fans loved that day just because it brought Pittsburgh together. I said for so many years, I've said it on every possible forum, whether it's on the air, off the air, friends, family. I've screamed it from the mountaintops, Paul, that, and I understand people just shake their heads and laugh, but I said, I promise you, Pittsburgh is as good a baseball town as any in the country. I guarantee it, even though perhaps it didn't show through the years. And the reason for me was, we never had a baseball-only ballpark, at least in my lifetime, until Three Rivers came along. I mean, there was a stadium in my lifetime, which was a football stadium. The baseball park came along, and this is, you know, Forbes Field, obviously, was raised, and the Pirates left in 1970. But when we needed a baseball-only ballpark and a great team, and that's what happened in 2013, 14, 15, when they set all those attendance records. Paul, I was in the Pirate front office in the marketing department for a number of years prior to getting into announcing. And I will never forget an executive, top VP of sales. This is back in the 1980s. I will never forget. He gathered salespeople around, and I was in this big boardroom, and the Pirates had hired some firm to do a study on the tri-state area. And he basically said, we will never draw 2 million people. It's impossible. With where we are, where we're located, where we draw from, if you look at the Phillies, you look at the Indians, you look at the Reds, our area is too small. We will never draw 2 million. And I kept that in the back of my mind forever. And then, lo and behold, of course, 2001, the first year, at PNC Park, they draw well over 2 million, and then they break those records in 13, 14, and 15. So, yes, that 13 wild card game absolutely stands out for me as a top. You know, one of my favorite moments of all time was John Wehner's home run. I've said this before too, Paul. Wehner hits the last home run ever in the history of Three River Stadium, October 1st, 2000, which was an incredible feat. When you think about a guy who grew up in Carrick, a huge Pittsburgh sports fan, he ends up and came out of a bad neighborhood. He admits this. He's lucky to be alive, let alone going to become, goes to school at Indiana. Pirates sign him. He becomes a part-time player, a 10-year career. He hits a total of four home runs, and one of the home runs he hits, incredibly, is the last home run ever in the history of Three River Stadium. 58,000 fans on their feet, seventh inning, Pirates down a couple runs, two on, two outs, and here comes John Wehner, lucky to be in a lineup, starting lineup, let alone hitting a home run to give the Pirates the lead. That stands out as my single favorite moment as a Pirate broadcaster.
Yeah, I mean, and of course now John is one of your colleagues on the on the broadcast, and I'm sure you guys have a good time when you
you know his self-effacing humor, Paul. He points out whenever I relive that moment at a speaking engagement or whatnot, and he happens to be there, he always reminds me and the audience that he was also the answer to the trivia question, who made the last out in the history of Three River Stadium? It was John Wehner. And who made the last error in the history of Three River Stadium? It was John Wehner. So he had a really solid career, but and for him to turn out to be a great broadcaster and a great friend, it's really cool. Because I had known him through the minor league years in Buffalo when he was coming up the organization. I got to know him and know his story, and so we became friends. And then when he ended up, coming to the plate at that moment, I was on the TV side with Steve Blass and Nellie King, the former broadcaster. They brought Nellie in to the TV booth that day to reminisce with Steve about the glory years of the 70s. And then here comes Wehner, a buddy of mine, and he hits this home run. So improbable. It stands out for me as one of my all-time favorite moments. The series before, I think the 2015 All-Star break, I think the Pirates played 3 out of 4 against the Cardinals, and they won 3 of 4, including a couple of dramatic walk-off wins. That also stands out in terms of my favorite broadcasting moments.
Yeah, I think that now this was supposed to be opening day, opening weekend, and I was just talking about, wow, what a beautiful night this would have been for the first Friday night game of the season. But are there any opening days that you think about that, really were different than maybe some of the others? Is there anything that stands out? I know they've had some amazing games on opening day.
Yeah, I mean, the one that stands out, the most recent ones, of course, are the ones that stand out in anyone's memory normally, it's clear, was the 2014. The Pirates are welcomed back to Pittsburgh for the first time since the National League Division Series against the Cardinals, which followed the wild card game. And people were just on the Pirate bandwagon like nothing, nobody's business. And so they were rocking the house on that opening day, 2014, and a well-pitched game, scoreless game, goes into the 10th inning. And Neil Walker hits a walk-off home run against, of all teams, the Chicago Cubs to win it 1-0 over the right field wall. And so that stands out because I don't get caught up in my calls. I think that's even though we all have egos in this business, there's no doubt about that. I don't have that big of an ego where I care all that much about, where a call stands in history. And this won't stand in history, but it was just nice. It was fitting because Bob was on the radio side with me that day, Bob Walk, and as we went into the 10th inning, he started to ask me about what Bob Prince would be saying going extra innings on opening day. I don't know how we got on Prince. Anyway, we started talking, and so the Walker steps in, and I don't know whether it was the second or third pitch of the at-bat, but he hits the ball over the – as it heads toward the right field wall, I just said, and I wish I did this more often, I wish I were more succinct, and I wish I talked less And in this case, I did. And I just said, you can kiss it goodbye. And that was it. And that's all I said. It was just kind of a fitting tribute. The timing of it was just perfect. And so all of that, it just fit nicely, and a nice little bow tied around that opening day game. I also remember, of course, the first game ever at PNC Park history was against the Cincinnati Reds. And just the opening up of that officially was really cool. They had played a couple of exhibition games against the Mets about a week or so prior to that, as I recall. But the first home opener ever at PNC Park was very special. Beautiful day. The Pirates lost to the Reds. Sean Casey, the Pittsburgh native, hits the first ever home run in the history of PNC Park. One opening day I wish I could forget, Paul, and you may remember, I don't know if you were around then, I assume you were, was 1995 when there was a kind of a backlash around baseball. People were not thrilled about what the owners did in bringing in replacement players. And so there were demonstrations of sorts throughout every opening day. And in 1995, when the Pirates opened up the season, they had given away some kind of giveaway, like a calendar of some sort that's rolled up in a tube. And do you remember when they just started? I think the Pirates made a couple of errors. It was an ugly scene, and they just started throwing these calendars like on the field, and it kind of had to be delayed. It was not a good time in Major League Baseball. And I think it taught everyone a lesson. And really it did, because it, and I've said this too, Paul, that as disappointing as this is and frustrating that we're not playing, I have been just so almost rejuvenated and excited about what I read and hear from baseball fans, Pirate fans around the country and here in Pittsburgh, how important baseball is, how much they're missing it. If anybody wonders how important baseball and the Pirates are, then they've got their head in the sand. They're not paying attention to what's going on. So that, again, back then when that happened, it showed that they were angry, that they went through that, the replacement player thing. They had returned from the strike, and then the Pirates didn't play well on opening day 1995. That was certainly a forgettable day in opening day history.
Yeah, no question. Well, Greg, I appreciate you taking some time, man, catching up, and it won't be that long. We'll be over the ballpark again, and we'll be starting to talk about games that are actually going on, buddy.
Paul, can't wait, man. It's going to be a blast. Well, that opening day will be the greatest in my lifetime.
You're absolutely right about that. I actually said that the other day, that when baseball, you know, comes back and finally starts, you know, the first pitch, I mean, I don't know if I think there's going to be a standing ovation for the entire, you know, first half of the first inning in every stadium in America.
Honest to gosh, that's what I'm thinking. When people ask me about, you know, returning and frustrating, I just keep thinking about whenever that is, whenever opening day is, how great it is going to be. So I don't know when the date is, but I'm looking forward to it, and that's what keeps me going. I cannot wait. That's going to be one of the greatest moments in all of our lifetimes.
I agree, Greg. Hey, thanks, man. Thanks thanks so much, and great stuff. And, you know, stay safe, buddy.
Hey, you too, Paul. Thanks, man.
All right. That's Greg Brown, Pirates broadcaster extraordinaire. Great stuff there. And he raises a good point. We're going to talk about that next. It's the Paul's Eye Show on 93.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.